From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch.
About 20 years ago, our next guest, local Park City resident Kent Maurer, decided that to enhance his business as an athletic trainer, he should learn more about nutrition. So he started listening to the experts, and the plant-based nutrition world seemed to emerge as what would not only help him and his clients, but help the planet. Since then, he has become a very fervent advocate for a plant-based diet and lifestyle. He joined me a few days ago to talk through, well, why be vegan? And to preview tomorrow's release of a new film that he hopes will tilt the scales and give us the answers to this question. Kent Maurer, welcome to The Mountain Life. Why don't you start with just a little bio?
Oh, thanks for taking the time to talk to me. You know, I've been training probably almost 40 years now. I've been in this industry. That's where I met my wife back in Aspen. So we've been both in the fitness industry for over, 35, 40 years. And it was about 25 years ago, I had a studio in San Diego. I had a studio there for 20 years in Solana Beach. I was getting frustrated because all the exercise in the world I was doing with my clients, and I had those clients for the whole 20 years I was there, I still couldn't stop people from getting heart disease or cancer or diabetes. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know anything about nutrition. So I was fortunate to start making trips up to Los Angeles, San Francisco, different places, and even San Diego, and listening to doctors who are now very well known in the plant-based world, who are changing people's lives and changing the world simply by changing the content of the food on their plate. So after I heard them, and these are extremely credible people, there was no going back, and then you just kind of dive in all the way. You read everything you can, you watch everything you can. I got certified by Cornell University in plant-based nutrition, also by Dr. John McDougall up in Santa Rosa, California, but with his plant-based nutrition program. And just, again, I can't get enough of it. So it's evolved for me. It started out with me trying to help my clients, my family, everyone be healthier. But it's evolved to now this whole planetary connection to our food choices. It's huge, and people need to be aware of the power of their food choices. I think that's why I sent that trailer to the new movie that's coming out this Thursday to you, because if people saw how much power we have as an individual to change how warm the planet's getting, to change how much water we're losing, to change the violence in the world, to change so many different things, the antibiotic resistant diseases that are starting to flourish this planet, as we all well know. So there's virtually everything not so good is connected to our food choices. And that's one thing we can all change right away.
So the documentary that's coming out Thursday is called Eating Our Way to Extinction. And the trailer opens with, floods and these extreme climate events. Then you see these images of rainforests being mowed down. It is really quite provocative. And our food choices, first of all, our food choices are about self. We're selfish. We make our food choices based on if we want to lose a few pounds or if we want to do this or accomplish that. But then they go the spectrum, right, to really saving the world. That's what you're talking about here. You say this is the film that we will create a tipping point toward a vegan world. Why do you say that?
Well, again, it's all about education. A few years ago, we premiered here at Sundance a film called The Game Changers. I'm not sure if you saw it or not. And that was excellent. It's on Netflix right now. And I, again, encourage everybody to watch that. And it was really geared to humans, like, okay, you don't need animals to get strong or big or be good athletes. And it was very convincing. It's still very convincing. I haven't eaten animal products for 25 years, and I've gotten nothing but healthier every day, every year, never get sick. And I'm doing great. So I haven't died from lack of protein anywhere. So, and that's what I'm hoping what this film does. This film's got a lot of really big names by it. Besides Kate Winslet is the narrator. Richard Branson is one of the producers. Also a couple of the guys from Game Changers are the producers of it as well. So it's all about education. David Attenborough has been putting out some good stuff on Netflix as well. one called Breaking Barriers, talking about what he's seen in his lifetime on the planet and how much human activity is affecting the warming of our planet and all the stuff that's going on, those floods you're talking about and the fires we see every day around here. But people are, like you said, people aren't listening because they don't see it in their own yard, or they don't feel like they have any control over it. But we really do if we collectively get this information and move on. So I think that's one of the things I like to start with people is, like, we don't need animals for anything. We don't need it for nutrition. We get all the protein we can get from plants. Plants are the original source of all nutrients. It started way back in the day when we learned it in grade school, called photosynthesis. The sun shines down the earth, interacts with the soil, the sand, and the water, and grows plants. And that's where the animals get their protein. And then we eat the animals secondhand to get our protein. So first and foremost, we don't need animals for nutrition. All vitamins, minerals, everything originates in plants. So right there, it's a needless industry. And because the industry has gotten so big, because of our demand, you know, we feel like we have to have it. It makes us feel strong. It makes us feel special. Yeah, this industry has just gotten huge. And right now, about 80 billion animals are killed every year on this planet for food that we don't need. Food that we don't is actually harmful to our health. And that's just our land. Another film for people to watch, it's on Netflix, is called Seaspiracy. And it's talking about how much our fishing habits are devastating our oceans, and it's a travesty to our oceans and the coral reefs and how it just dredged out the bottom of the ocean. So there's so many ramifications to what we choose to eat, and they're only happening because we choose it. If we stop choosing it, the industries would stop producing it. They only want to make money. So if we ask them for plants, they're going to produce plants. If we ask them for beefsteak, they're going to produce beefsteak. Right now, like you said, we're all set in our ways. We all have food is very personal to all of us. We're raised a certain way, a certain culture, certain taste buds, and it's hard to change that. And I was one of the biggest meat eaters on the planet. I grew up in Colorado. My mom was a great cook, and I love my meat. I love my cheese. But I saw the health benefits of it first. And now, as you pull back the curtain, you pull back all the little layers, you see the ramifications of our choices on the planet.
It's such a great point you make. As I mentioned before, we first start with self. What's good for me? What's good for my body? And then you go to these numbers, like 80 billion animals are needlessly killed every year. So then a lot of people focus on saving animals. And then there's even this bigger focus on saving the planet. And if you look at here in Utah, water has become such a crucial, they talk about how water will eventually be the thing that controls all development, all really our lives, and how much water is saved if you don't eat animals.
The next wars will be fought over water. It's not going to be oil. People will be fighting over fresh water. But sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. So there are really so many layers of how you can look at this, and it seems very convenient to choose your level of, of layer of how you look at being vegan. I guess it's my theory about why we continue to eat meat. And I tend to think it's that many of us we're just lazy, right? And it's a very easy thing to do, to go, buy some chicken and put it on the grill. And you could say the same, like, I think oftentimes I consume too much coffee, and it's because I'm not drinking enough water. And as soon as I drink enough water, I don't want as much coffee. And the same thing goes, as long as I am really being fastidious about cutting my kale and chopping it up and preparing it and making it ready, which I will say sometimes it takes a lot more time than throwing chicken on the grill. But as soon as I do a lot of that, then I don't eat as much chicken or meat or whatever it is. So what about that lazy factor? Is it just something that we're going to have to work harder at to be vegan?
I don't think you have to work harder at it. I think for me, it's opened up the door to food that I never even considered in the past. I mean, like a lot of people who eat meat, I had my favorite breakfast, usually bacon and eggs. I had my favorite lunch, was usually a burger. I had my favorite dinner, usually a steak. And it kind of revolved like that all the time. But now, gosh, there's 80,000 different edible plants on planet Earth, and it's opened the door to food I never even considered before. So actually, we eat more variety than we ever have. And to going back to your comment on kale, kale is super nutritious, but if you try to survive on kale, you're going to fail because there's just not enough calories in green leafy vegetables. I mean, they're super nutritious, but they're not going to fill you up. You put a piece of meat in, and you're satisfied, right? You're not hungry anymore. So that's why I advocate for people to eat a starch-based diet. And that's what Dr. McDougall recommends. That's what a lot of the top nutritionists recommend. And starches, some reason, have a bad rap to them. They think that they're going to make people fat, but it's how you make your starches that would make you fat. For example, if you eat a potato, regular baked potato, it's only 100 calories and super high in nutrition, low in fat, complete protein. But if you deep fried it, made French fries out of it, or made potato chips out of it, or put bacon bits and sour cream and butter on top of it, that's what ruins a potato. So a lot of it's the oils and the fats that you add to your foods that make them taste better. But we eat a ton of potatoes, a ton of beans, and a ton of grains. Those are my new meats. Mm-hmm. They have all the protein I need. I have all the satisfying elements I needed that I got from meat, but I don't have the impact that I had by eating meat. Now, people don't realize that there's only been one diet proven through multiple different studies, including Dr. Ornish and back in San Francisco and Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn from the Cleveland Clinic. There's only been one diet that's proven to reverse our number one killer on this planet, and that's a whole food, plant-only diet. It's the only one that's proven that it can stop and even reverse heart disease. And then we can go on to every other disease on the planet where we can link it to animal products as well. But the number one killer of humans throughout the country, throughout the planet, is heart disease. And that's a direct reflect of eating saturated fat and cholesterol that we don't have the capacity to get rid of in our bloodstream. We're not a carnivore. We don't have the whole makeup of a carnivore. We have the longest intestines of any species on the planet. So we're like literally like one giant juice extractor, where a true carnivore only has the intestines of 2 times the length of their body, where ours is 11 times the length of their body. We have to eat vitamin C or we get scurvy. True carnivores make their own vitamin C. I mean, it can go on and on, so on how opposite we are of a true carnivore. We think of ourselves as a carnivore. We think of ourselves as, I'm a manly man, I'm gonna eat my meat because I'm a carnivore. But you're not. Your anatomy, everything about your anatomy is that of a plant eater. So yeah, we're lazy. We're also lazy. We're lazy and we're also really sick. And if you look around this globe, maybe not in Park City. Park City is a kind of anomaly because we work out more, we exercise more, we eat a little more conscious about our eating. But if you look around the United States especially, and the rest of the world is gaining on us, we're a very overweight, very sickly species. Mm-hmm. And it makes us more susceptible not only to heart disease and cancer and diabetes, but also the latest little fun thing we have floating around the air, and that's things like viruses. It makes mm-hmm. us more susceptible to get sick from stuff like that. So if we got healthier, we could fix a lot of things. So that's why my little motto and my foundation is one single act. With one single act, we can literally fix the world, our world and the world that we live in, if we all got together and jumped on this bandwagon together. It's that powerful.
If you're just joining me on The Mountain Life, my guest is Kent Maurer. He is a local Parkite. He has lived here since 2007. He's a trainer and an activist, I would say. He wants us to change one single act, and that act is to turn ourselves create a plant-based diet for ourselves. Kent, I wanted to mention a couple months ago, I spoke to Matt Frazier and Robert Cheek. They wrote a book called The Plant-Based Athlete.
It's an awesome book.
Really, you've read it. Yeah. Yes.
Really well. They're amazing. And I went on a cruise, believe it or not. I don't go on cruises too often, but I went on a plant-based vegan cruise, and they were both speakers on it. Oh. And one's an endurance athlete. Matt Frazier's he runs the 100-mile marathons. And then Robert Cheek is a bodybuilder. And a massive, huge, strong guy who hasn't eaten meat for like 30 years. So they're both pretty incredible. So I'm glad that they got together and made this really great book because it's really powerful.
It was wonderful to talk to them. And I think we see from time to time accomplished athletes who are also plant-based. But then it's like we need more proof and more proof and more proof. And I know you're probably familiar with Craig Gordon, who is local and he's an Avalanche sport. Forecaster, and he's got more energy than just about anyone on the planet. He is an ultra runner. He's been a plant-based athlete for many years. You yourself are a plant-based athlete. And I think, you know, I bring this up because I think so many people wonder how they're going to get their protein. And we're learning more that you don't need as much protein as has been sold to us. And I will say that it's interesting to hear this. I feel like, and I want to ask you this, how much proof? It feels to me like people need so much proof before they can accept that we all should have this vegan, plant-based lifestyle.
The proof is overwhelming, and all you have to do is go out and look for it. There's two great books to start off with. One is The China Study by Dr. Colin Campbell. The other one is How Not to Die by Dr. Michael Greger. Those are scientifically one of the most researched and research papers and books that you can read. But really, the best way to look is to look around the world. National Geographic did a really cool thing about 15 years ago. They went around the world and they looked for different pockets of human species, and they found the ones that were living the longest on planet Earth. And they wanted to find out their secrets. And they called them the Blue Zones. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Blue Zones. And that was Dan Buettner who wrote that book. He was one of the researchers. And the Blue Zones, there are about five different regions of planet Earth where the societies live longer than the average human on planet Earth. And it's one's in Greece, one's in Japan, one's in Italy, one's in Costa Rica. But ironically, the longest living of all the Blue Zones is in smog-infested East L.A. And that's the Seventh-day Adventists of Loma Linda, California. And all these things have, all these Blue Zoners have a lot of things in common. They're spiritual. They have friends for life that really kind of support them. Those are all really great things, which we have here in Park City. But the number one thing all of them do is eat primarily a plant-based diet. But what separates the Seventh-day Adventists is they eat, if they follow it per T, and they have the longest study ever done through the Seventh-day Adventist hospital system. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that they've been following for 30, 40 years. They've proven that they can isolate people who are complete vegans, vegetarians, omnivores, and meat eaters, and document, you know, their lifespan, document how much diabetes they get, document how much cancer they get, document how much heart disease they get. And the ones who live their lifestyle the truest live on average 10 years longer than the average American in the United States. And it's not just 10 years longer, but 10 years disease-free longer. And the one key that makes them do it, you're asking what motivates people. Some people, you know, they definitely need motivation, but in the Seventh-day Adventist, it's Genesis 1:29. And I'm not a religious guy, but this is what they follow. And Genesis 1:29 in the Bible is right after God created humans. He says, I give you every herb-bearing seed on the face of this whole earth and every fruit-bearing tree, and those shall be yours for food. And that's what they believe, and that's what they follow. And that's a plant-based diet, and that's why they live, in my opinion, as long as they do. And all the other Blue Zoners that were documented years ago, they're starting to lose their longevity because the younger kids, younger people are starting to fall in more into the Western United States, you know, the United States kind of lifestyle with more Burger Kings and more McDonald's and more fast food and more junk food and more meat and dairy and processed food. And that's what's keeping the Seventh-day Adventists on the program is their faith in God and their faith and their belief in that those words from God.
That's so interesting. I've always wondered where that comes from, the Seventh-day Adventists, and why they are. But Genesis 1:29, that's really interesting. Thanks for sharing that.
Go home and pick up your Bible and read it. Yes.
Got to go buy a Bible first.
I did too. I looked into all different religions and what they had to say about eating animals. And every one of them advocates more of a plant-based diet. And even the Mormon religion says only eat animals in times of famine. And that's in two doctrines in their book. So it's right there for people to look at if they just open their eyes.
Yeah, very interesting. This documentary that's being released on Thursday, Eating Our Way to Extinction, you sent out the trailer, you sent out the link to how to purchase tickets. It's not happening in Park City. It's sort of happening on a global scale. The call to action for this particular documentary, you just want people to go and log on. Is it a virtual release of the film, or how's that happening?
This is what they did. They did the same thing with The Game Changers. It's when you make a film like this, it's hard to get people to go to the movies and, you know, like go see Top Gun or whatever and make a lot of money out of it. So they usually have a big, grandiose, one-night-only premiere. They try to get as much money as they can out of that for that. And then usually about a month later, you'll see it on Netflix. So it'll be around, either Netflix or Prime Video. But so this one, you go to fathomevents.com. Fathom Events is who's orchestrating it. And you'll just, you go to different events and just type in, you know, the movie you want to see, which is Eating Our Way to Extinction. And I'm really excited. They had the premiere to it in London, and there was a, I've been reading and watching a lot of the people who went to it, and people are blown away. They just don't realize, nobody realizes how much that their food choices is contributing to what we're seeing going on this planet right now. Really, really that powerful. And I make the argument all the time is that coal and oil and gas is a big deal, right? That's definitely a big factor in the warming of our planet. And we all want to go home to warm homes. And we all want to go on a plane every now and then and go see our family members. And we all want to drive a car. Hopefully someday we can all afford electric cars. We can all have solar panels on our roof and all those different great things. But when you start seeing the facts of how much water is being used to grow food, to feed the animals, and how much methane the animals are producing that's even a greater heater of our planet than CO2, and how quickly methane will go out of the atmosphere once we stop the cause. And once you see all the waste that's being produced by animals and what's just going into the oceans and our aquifers and our water and polluting our waters, and then when you see how these viruses are emerging from factory farms and wet markets, all those things tie into one thing that we can all do right now. We don't have to worry about coming home to a warm home. We can come home to a different content of food on our plate. We can have either a meat-based diet, meat-based meal, or we can have a plant-based meal. Every one of us on Earth can do that. I should say not every one of us. The people of poor nations got to eat whatever they can eat. I'm talking more to the wealthier nations that don't need those foods. There's plenty of, you know, Costco's on the corners and Walmart's and Smith's, and there's plenty of stores to go to buy all the plants you need. And it's very inexpensive, by the way. You don't have to start buying all the processed, newfangled, dangled plant-based meats and cheeses. Beans, potatoes, whole grains are some of the cheapest foods on the planet. And you complement that with a rainbow of fruits and vegetables, usually hopefully locally grown, going to our local little farmer's market and eating what's in season and complementing your filling foods with those beans, potatoes, and whole grains with those wide variety of fruits and vegetables.
Well, Kent, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. And I have to tell you that I started the 10-day Mayor Vegan Challenge, when was that, about three years ago. And, you know, I did it kind of half-heartedly for about 5 days. And I went, oh, okay. But for some reason, and we never know what this is or what's going to, you know, precipitate us making a major shift in our lives. But in June, I went on this cleanse, and it, you know, is not necessarily connected to a vegan diet, but what you could eat was vegan. And I felt so good after a month of this cleanse, and I just kept on going. And I thought, I don't know, I didn't make a declaration to do a vegan diet. And maybe that was part of it, is that I didn't make this big thing about it. I just started eating vegan. And I felt better than I've ever felt. And, you know, and I just said, I'm going to keep doing this and we'll just see how it goes. And I'm not going to be absolute about it. But it's now is probably the time for someone like me to make sure I watch all of those documentaries that you mentioned.
That's what helped keep you motivated.
Yes. Oh, so true. So Eating Our Way to Extinction, that's released on Thursday. Game Changers, you've mentioned quite a few times. One documentary that really influenced me was one that came here to the Jim Santee Auditorium with the film series, which was Forks Over Knives.
Back in 2011, it was one of the first. That's what changed a lot of people, like James Cameron, for example, the movie producer. He's the one who produced the Game Changers. It made a huge influence on people, and all they've done has just gotten better since Forks Over Knives. That's why premiering Thursday is not only supposed to be an amazing message, but it's supposed to be one of the most beautifully filmed movies that a lot of people have ever seen. So the quality is so much better than they've been in the past. Not to say that Forks Over Knives wasn't good quality. It's very good quality.
Great. Okay, so again, fathomevents.com. You can go onto it. Just do a search for Eating Our Way to Extinction. You can see it when it comes out on Thursday. You can wait, as you say, a month or two and be able to see it on Netflix or some other platform. Kent Maurer, it's been a pleasure speaking with you again on The Mountain Life. Thanks for coming back, and I hope you I hope you visit us again sometime. I know you're just here. You're in town. I see you around town all the time. So,
yeah. Congratulations on your lifestyle change. And I want that for everybody. I didn't get into this. There's no money for the message I'm doing. I'm not part of Fathom Events or Eating Our Way to Extinctions or Game Changers. I'm just somebody who sees the benefit. And I want people to experience it like you have before they have problems.
Yeah.
And right now, I want people to experience before the planet has irreversible problems. And that means like no water for us to drink or too hot for us to exist in on a planet that's just getting too hot. And that's definitely the path we're heading towards unless we change our ways.
Great message. Kent, thank you so much for joining me on The Mountain Life.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.